Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
Amen. Good morning, Cross Point. So it's good seeing everybody here this morning. If you will, turn with me to Psalm 127. We are going to continue in our series through the Psalms of Ascent. So we've been talking about this these last weeks, that these are 15 tracks on an album, if you will, that would be listened to as the Israelites would journey from their home to Jerusalem for worship. And so the idea as we go through this fall was very much that the themes of these songs, that we would be singing them together as we journey in our walk with Christ, being transformed by Him. And even last week, I mentioned how I particularly like these songs as it relates to how we understand spiritual disciplines or rhythms, because so often our view of that can be minimized to what we do. Read your Bible, go to church, do these things, and then we evaluate ourselves on how well or poorly we're doing those things. But what these songs invite us into is it's a little bit more deeper work in our heart of saying, walking in repentance, of realizing that God is the one, it's in His providence, that we have a secured hope. It was one of joy and the need for that. And when we lack joy, as we looked at last week, we remember His faithfulness. And so these themes, I find, are extremely helpful as we pursue Christ, as we seek to be renewed, transformed by Him. And today, it's a song of work and family. Now, if we let that sink in a moment, that's fascinating, because so oftentimes we want to compartmentalize or separate our view of, okay, God's doing this work in my life, but okay, the alarm went off, now I have to go to work. And we view that as very separate. We view the work we do, career, we can even view family as something separated from what God is actually doing. And what this psalm, what today's song helps us do is realize and to see that the inward transformation that we're experiencing directly reshapes and changes our perspective of work and family. That's my prayer for today, that it would reshape how you see how you spend your every day, how you give yourself to that, how you think about it, and how you actually go about accomplishing it. So if you will, turn with me to Psalm 127 and want to read these five verses for us this morning. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This is God's word. Now there's part here where the song actually begins in a warning, right? Where it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it do it in vain. If the Lord isn't the one who's watching over a city, then the watchmen watch in vain. It's vain that you wake up early and go on about your work day in and day out. It's all vanity. Now, this may sound familiar to last summer when we went through Ecclesiastes and Solomon talked about vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. It's because this song is also written by King Solomon. And if you remember, vanity, it's like a vapor. It's like the morning fog over the lakes, and then as the sun rises, it just burns away. that fog, that when we give our life to something separated from God, it's like trying to grasp hold of something day in and day out, and yet having empty hands in response. Now, this should cause a check in our hearts, right? Like, there should be a bit like, let that not be me. Because if we think about it, if you work 40 hours a week from the age of 20 to 60, right? You get your 2 weeks vacation, but you're working in and out. You will have worked over 80,000 hours. That's something like 3,300 days. It represents over 9 years of working 24-hour days, 7 days a week. And this is saying that there's a possibility that you give your life to that, and in the end, it's worthless. It's like you grab hold of fog, and at the end, you have absolutely nothing to show for it. I pray that that kind of creates in you a sense of like, I don't want that to be me, right? Like, I don't want my work. I don't want the work of my hands to be in vain. So what then does it look like? What kind of heart should we have toward how we see work? What needs to be renewed in our thinking? How then should we approach how we go about doing the work that God gives us to do? So, beginning with the heart, I think one of the ways that we work in vain, and what stated so clearly here, is that unless the Lord builds the house, it's in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, it's in vain. If we have a godless perspective of work, meaning you think I go to church on Sunday, but my work Monday through Friday is just something completely different than what God is doing in me, your work is in vain. That these two things need to go together. That when we view it as it's just my effort, it's just my work, it's just about me, and we separate that from God, it's in vain. I think as well, one thing I've heard in Christian circles at times that is a very damaging viewpoint is that work itself is a result of the curse. Meaning this, remember Adam and Eve in the garden, they fell, and we understand then that work is a result of sin, is how we see it. And so what this develops in us is we say, well, okay, I'm spending my life, I'm going to pursue God today, but then tomorrow I have to live in the world of sin. And I just have to do that to put food on the table, and it's a necessary evil, and I'm just going to do it. And they'll say, see, because that's what it says in Genesis 3. It says, cursed is the ground because of you, God said to Adam. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. And you're like, see, it's because of sin that we eat the bread of anxious toil. And so what happens then is we view work as part of just in opposition to God. And spiritual life is just something completely different. And if we fall into that temptation, it all becomes vanity. We live this dichotomous, separate life and thinking, okay, spiritually I'm this, but then in work, that's just something completely different until Jesus comes. But I believe that if we look at what this passage is saying and what Scripture teaches about work, it helps us to have a right thinking and action as we approve. Look at what work is, looking at what it means. Like if we look at verse 1 of Psalm 27, unless the Lord builds the house, what's he doing? He's working. Unless the Lord watches over the city. See, a true perspective that makes it not vanity is when we see that God is already working and we're joining him in that work, that it's not just by our efforts, but it's because he's working. And we see this all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 1:1. Like if you think about it, what does it say? In the beginning, God created. He created. Like in verse 1, we see God working. Now you might say, ah, that's creating. That's art. That's not work. But it says in Genesis 2:2 that when God finished his work, he rested from all the work that he had done. That's how it talks about. We're introduced to God in Genesis 1:1 with him working. 6 days he worked, And then after 6 days, he rested. Now, after resting, he saw all that he had made it, and he said that there's nobody then to work the land. That's exactly how it says it in Genesis 2:5. There was no man to work the ground, so he created man to have dominion over the earth and to continue in the same process of working and creating that God himself established in the beginning. The reason why I make such a big deal about that is to see that work itself is a gift from God. It's what God did, and it's what he invites us into in partnership with him. Then what's said in Genesis 3 in response to sin, that work that was always intended to be, is now made harder, right? Now it's not just trees and fruit that grows up, but it's also thorns, it's thistles, it's weeds that also grow up. There's a challenge. There are obstacles now to the work. The work isn't easy. We're cut, we bleed, we experience frustration and pain. But along the way, what happened is because of those challenges, I believe even for Christians, we removed God from work altogether. And we said, oh, like my spiritual life is here and my work life is there, but it's hard and that's because of sin. So I'm just going to trust in Jesus. And if we could just be a monk, but you know, the fridge is empty, the kids are hungry, so I'm going to go and to work, and we keep these separated. But then slowly the fruit of our labor became the goal of our labor. And while we were created to partner with God in what he was doing, money, possessions, identity, success slowly began to take over in our hearts. And we saw that that is what we can achieve. And so it's led, what happened is that heart, if we have a wrong motivation in our heart towards work, and we see it as something separate, then what happens is the hands of our work, it can just turn into godless striving, right? Like, I'm going to make money, I'm going to have success, and we value that as a culture, don't we? Hey, I'm a self-made man, work hard, play hard. We can say that if you work hard, if you sacrifice, if you do all these things, you'll have success, you'll have belonging, you'll have meaning. And people spend their entire lives only to look back with regret that they have chased the wind. So how then do we not give ourselves over to that? So some, though they will respond in striving, then some Christians have said, well, okay, if working can lead to pride, if it can lead to greed, if it can lead to striving, then let's just not do it, right? Let's just rest in Jesus and trust that other unspiritual people can work and make money, and then we'll just live off of that. This was happening in the church in Thessalonica that the Apostle Paul had to address, right? Because they were just thinking, it's going to be more spiritual not to work, because if working, if you can work too hard and make a god out of it, then maybe we just don't work and that'll please God. But the Apostle Paul's like, no, by no means don't do this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. That he's saying, look, don't respond in laziness. Don't respond in saying, okay, some go into work and want to make it God. Other people want to say, well, I don't want to do that, so I'm just going to sit at home and read my Bible and not work, and just other people can feed me. Because that's more spiritual. Again, because we think that somehow working is separated from God, but that's not what it's saying. But here's the problem. If we just left it there, I fear that it would be like, you're confused. Because it can be like, okay, it says don't work in vain. God's at work. Check. Don't strive. Okay. But don't be lazy. But don't strive in work. So it's like, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean work only a certain number of hours a week? And if you work more than that, you're striving. If you don't work that many, you're lazy. Like, how do we then navigate this? How do we understand our heart? And this is, to be honest, like I've been wrestling with this all week. Like, what does this mean? How do I share this in a way for where you're at? Like, what is it that God has given your hands to do? Are you a teacher, working a bank, raising kids? Like, whatever it is that God has given you, a student. And it's like this call to not do that labor in vain, to partner with God, to trust in Him for strength. What does that mean? What does it even look like? And to be honest, I don't know the best way to say this to you other than to explain how I wrestle with it. So my hope is in sharing how I've been wrestling with this is that it might just bring some clarity for you in examining your own heart. Because it's not so much looking at the number of hours. I'm really inviting you to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart to say, are you given to striving separated from God so that your labor is in vain? Are you given to laziness so that all of non-effort is given to vain? There's a couple things in my own heart that I just hold as true, these convictions that drive me. And there's four things here, and the last one is where I find myself wrestling the most. The first, and you probably hear this in me, work is from God. Like, God created work before the fall. Work itself is not the curse. The challenges we face in work are because of the curse. We were created in God's original creation to work. I see that as a good thing and something that we are called into as Christians today. And yes, number two, sin makes that harder. There are challenges and obstacles we face in work now that were not part of the original intent, but it is part of our reality today. Everything we do, this is number three, we do for the glory of God. I don't just say this as me because you're a pastor, that's easy. If you are a mom at home and changing diapers, you can do that to the glory of God. If you are a teacher, if you are a bank teller, if like a realtor, whatever God has given your hands to do, you can do that to the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 9 says that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And whatever you do, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever God has led you to do, do that to His glory, for His name. Study for the next test for His glory, not just a grade. Number four is where I struggle. This is where I kind of want to press in, because it's this call and invitation in partnering with God to work in His strength, not my own. And I get this from Colossians 1:29. This is, in my mind, one of the clearest statements from the Apostle Paul as to what this means. Because the Apostle Paul says this, "For I toil, struggling." Like, immediately, what do you think? Easy or hard? Yeah, like there's some effort here. And it's like, how is this not striving? How is this not bad? He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that powerfully works within me." So now you have the Apostle Paul. He's laboring in the work that he's called to. He's struggling. He's facing this toil and challenges, but he's doing that with God's strength that work within him, not his own. So this is where I find in my own heart, and I ask myself, am I working in my own strength or am I working in His strength? It's the same question I hope you ask yourself, because if you're working in your own strength, the reality of what this is saying, it's in vain. It's a waste. You cannot expect to accomplish anything of a fruit to His glory if you are only doing it in your own strength. And so then it's like, okay, I want to do it in His strength, but how do I judge my heart if I'm doing that? Because if I'm honest, even this week, I have fallen on both sides of it. Okay? So I can be given to despair or dependency. Here's what I mean by that. In despair, I can look at the challenges that I face. That I think, okay, leading a large group of people, and all of us are sinners, right? And we can find creative ways of sinning against one another. That's a challenge. We are recovering from a global pandemic. That means that you're having to wear masks. We can't be together all at the same time. There's two separate services, and half the congregation is on the other side of a screen, and we're called to continue to grow as disciples and make disciples. What does that look like? How do we do that? How do we be faithful to what God has called us as a church in the midst of these obstacles? And what happens then is I begin to see all of this and it wells up in me that you're not doing enough. See, you need to do more. If you had a better strategy, if you had a better plan, if you were doing more, if don't sleep, just work more. Right? And keep striving. And what happens then is it just the weight becomes too much. And then the condemnation starts. And it's like, well, maybe you're not smart enough. Maybe you're not good enough. The problem's too big and you're too small. And this is what it can feel like. That's how I know when my heart is leaning to despair. It means, and the way that that looks, a symptom of that is that I can typically fall asleep within like 10 seconds. But I don't always stay asleep. So like I'll wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., mind racing, unable to go back to sleep. And that to me is a symptom that my heart is striving at the moment. Sometimes I get quickly agitated. My frustration level, I peak really fast, right? And I'm just like, because things are an interruption, because I'm doing things, I'm getting things done, and you are now in the way, right? And that is a symptom that my heart is now striving. I work more, but feel like I'm accomplishing less. Busyness, I'm busy. And so my value is in how busy I am rather than how faithful I am. Now, here's the thing. Those same obstacles can either feel like they're crushing me, or on the other side, when I'm actually dependent upon God, I see them and they invigorate me because I'm like, look how God's working. Like God is slowly stripping away what we consider normal, what we have maybe protected our hearts from in just the comfort of the world around us. And he stripped that away to expose our hearts, that he's at work transforming us in ways that we could have never planned or organized on our own. God is at work, and all I have to do is join him in that work. He is moving powerfully and mightily in this time. And all I have to do is walk with him, in step with him. And then all of a sudden, those same obstacles that were once crushing now are like testimony to how God's working. This is what happens in my heart. It's like a yo-yo. And I know that when I'm like resting in his work, like I can work hard during the day in his strength and then sleep well and restfully at night. That there's this calm energy that, yes, there's toil, yes, there's challenges, but the purpose isn't just overcoming the challenge. The purpose is something more that you see that God's doing. And my perspective changes, and it's not just striving, and it's not just a new plan. It's I'm praying more. I'm resting in him more. I'm serving in his energy. This is the only way I know how to explain to you. Like, would you take the time to examine in your own heart? One, how are you thinking about work? Because this is a song about work and family, and that work is not something separate than what God is doing in transforming you. It's part of it. Do you view work as just a curse, a necessary evil, or do you see it as an opportunity that when we say, go and be the church, you get to walk in that through the things and the gifts that God has given you? In whatever that might be, and it's not just the task that he's given you, but it's also how you go about that task, the people you meet along the way, how you interact with them, the integrity with which you fulfill those tasks. All of this is a response to and together with what God is doing in your heart and transforming you. And feeling like, okay, like in teaching, in raising children, in working and counseling, whatever these things are, that you can do that to the glory of God. So that's number one. How are you thinking about work? And number two, how are you going about accomplishing that work? Is your heart being strengthened by God that's powerfully at work within you? Or do you find yourself a bit agitated and overwhelmed because you find yourself working harder and harder and harder, accomplishing less and less and less, in the separation between what you feel and desire God to do in your heart is not expressing itself in how you're spending the hours upon hours? Are you working in vain? or are you working for his glory? And again, I say this as someone who has wrestled. I have fallen on both sides of that this week. Like this week, I have woken up at the 2 and 3 a.m. is why I can use that example. It varies. And I have to constantly, for me, I can give myself often to the striving. I like work. I enjoy it. I enjoy strategizing. I want to serve well. The condemnation and despair can creep in when I begin to do that in my own strength. That's where my tendency is. And it's something I have to be very, very intentional to shepherd in my own life, to ensure that I am serving in his strength and not my own. And I would encourage you, I don't know, do you tend toward striving or do you tend toward just disengaging in laziness? And then how do you evaluate that in your own heart? How do you discern that? I pray that just hearing my own struggle, because I don't know how else to share that, like your story, your personality, what you're given to, how to do that. But I do trust that the Holy Spirit, as you ask those questions, will give you discernment and what that looks like in your own life. And then together in community group this week, like I pray that this is something we're talking about. What does that look like? Where are we given to these things? How am I doing presently? How can we pray for one another in that? Now, as the psalm continues, it may seem like it's this major shift, because the next in verse 3, it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. So now all of a sudden, it's just talked about, it's all vain unless God's the one doing it, like with work, but now it's changing to family. And there's two things I want us to see here. First is this word behold is why I said at the beginning that as we are being spiritually transformed, it reshapes our perspective of work and family. It's because of this word behold. Because it's like God saying, hey, look at this. See things how I see it. I want your perspective, how you're seeing things, to be shaped through my eyes, not just your culture, not just your background. I want you to see work, and I want you to see children specifically through my eyes and with my perspective. This is what that behold, I believe, is leading us into. And in talking about children, I believe this is both an illustration of what it was said before concerning work. Like the question is, what does it look like to work with joy, to in his strength while trusting in God with the result of the work? Children are an application of that. It's also another illustration of a principle that our thinking, our eyes would be reshaped by him. And so here's what I mean by that. If the question is, what does it look like to work with joy, but trusting God with the result? The psalmist is saying, well, look at your kids. And let's ponder for a second how they came to be. Now, because this is an uncomfortable conversation, I'm going to read a quote to you from somebody else and how they said it. Just, I know, right? This is Eugene Peterson in his Long Obedience in the Same Direction. So track with me. I'm trying to say this in a sensitive way. Opposed to the strenuous efforts of people, so in opposition to just striving and work in your own energy, is the gift of children, born not through human effort, but through the miraculous process of reproduction, which God has created among us. Like, the example could not have been better chosen. What do we do to get sons and daughters? Very little. The entire miracle of procreation and reproduction requires our participation, but hardly in the form of what we would call work. We do not make these marvelous creatures that walk and talk and grow among us. We participate in an act of love that was provided for us in the structure of God's creation. Do you see what I mean by saying children are an illustration of what it means to work with a hope and a faith in God for the result of that work, not just in the striving? that in the same way that we work throughout the week, participating in the purposes of God's creation, we trust Him with the result of our work. That children are an illustration of that truth, but it's also an application of what it means to have a new perspective. Because I do think in our culture, we have a distorted picture of children in the role that they play in our lives. Like, our culture can see children as a burden, as an accessory, or as an inconvenience. And I'm sure that the list could go on. Like, some would say that children are a burden. The USDA just came out and said that if you have a child today, you can expect to spend $284,000 by the time they turn 18. That is not including college. And you may see that and you're like, that's a lot of money. Right? That is a burden, some would see it as. Some see children just as an accessory to the American dream, 2.5 kids, a white picket fence. Right? And the reality is that in a stereotypical way, in a broad generalization, in the same way that for men, for many men, you can begin to find your identity, your purpose, your value in work. For many women, you can begin to find your purpose, your value, your identity in motherhood. And that children become a means of building up your own identity and your own sense of value. They become an accessory, but they are so, so much more. And this is where we need God's perspective. And sometimes, within our culture, children are just seen as an inconvenience. The latest data I had was from 2017. 862,000 children in America were aborted. Now, that's down from 1 million a few years prior. Like, to put that in perspective, just within an hour time span, that is over 90 children who were considered an inconvenience and whose life was ended. Like, you can't tell me in hearing that our culture does not have a distorted view of children. We need to have our eyes reshaped, our perspective of children changed and renewed and shaped by what God's doing in us, to see it through His eyes. Notice what it says. Children are a heritage from the Lord. See, oftentimes we think that children are going to inherit from us, however much or little that is, right? But they inherit from parents. But what the Bible says is a complete opposite. They're saying, no, children are our inheritance. They are what is of value to us, that when we die and pass on, they are the ones who continue on. They are our heritage. This is how the scripture sees it. It says that children are the fruit of the womb, a reward. That children are a reward. Now, here's the one thing I do want to clarify with this. This does not mean that children are a reward to a woman for being morally good. That's how it can come across sometimes. Like, oh, you were good enough, you get a baby, and you get a baby. Sorry, you're not good enough, you don't. That is not what it's saying. When it's talking about children are a reward, it's referring to the value of a child. And I say that because it's the same word that was used when Jonah went to pay to hire the boat that would help him flee from where God was leading him. Right? That same word for what he paid is what's used here for reward. It's referring to a monetary value. It's saying that children, in the Christian perspective, we hear that number, $284,000 is what it's going to cost to raise a child from birth to 18, and we say that's nothing compared to the value of a child. How do you even begin to comprehend the comparison of value? Children are infinitely more valuable. Because what are you going to buy with the money? A house that's only going to break down and need repairs? What, you're going to buy a car that's going to rust and break down? going to buy some technology that'll be outdated in 5 years? What could you possibly use with that money that would be more valuable than a child? See, in God's perspective, a child is worth infinitely more. Its value is a gift from God, is what it's saying here. That children are like a weapon. They are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. It's like bullets in a gun. This is the same imagery. It's saying that as we stand here, they go out from us. Like, we're in the place. God has blessed us with 6 kids. In December, 5 of them are going to be legal adults, with 1 being a teenager. Like, it's crazy to think about, but we're in this place where we are at the place where it's not like they're just arrows in a quiver. They are being launched out. And the hope in the prayer is that the convictions that Kirsten and I have, the values that we've tried to instill in them, would now be used in their unique personality and gifting to go out into the world to make an impact. They will meet people and touch lives and go into sectors within our culture and community that I don't have the skills for, people I would never meet, but God is launching them out into, and that they will have an impact there. And that the prayer is that their children will continue in that same way, and their children's children will continue in that same way. That there is this infinite multiplying factor, that they are a legacy, a heritage. This is the perspective that we are being invited into. And I realize some days can seem hard. People told us all the time, because I meant to figure up. It was like 10 years my wife said she was either pregnant or nursing. Like, I think it was over 10 years that someone cried in our house every day. Like, I remember the day someone didn't cry. Like, it was that monumentous. And people are like, it's going to go quick. And I'm like, days are an eternity. Like, I don't know what they're talking about here. But now, we have a picture of one of my daughters under our TV, and she's in this little red dress. And I almost broke into tears the other day, like, seeing this. The years went fast. The years were an eternity. The days were an eternity. The years went fast. It can be hard. And I think sometimes, as parents, we just need to like renew our perspective of the gift and the treasure that they are. Just to remind ourselves of, for many, the prayers, even leading up to their birth, as prayed for a child. I know for many, and even hearing this, it can be hard if you're walking in singleness or childlessness. The idea of even talking about this, it can feel a sense of longing. A desire for it. And I would say, for one, that is a good longing. It is something to surrender before God, that we know children are a gift from God. I think it's also an invitation that throughout Scripture, we see, like the Apostle Paul talking to young Timothy as a pastor in a very fatherly tone, referring to him as his son. There is a sense that spiritually, there are those who call me pops, who are not my biological children. That is a gift that was not done out of birth, but by God's mercy. There is an invitation for those that even if you find yourself in singleness, in childlessness, in the moment, that does not mean God does not have something for you today to walk in these promises. And so what does it look like then to trust Him, to have a perspective that is being renewed? Because the majority of our lives are not spent here just in worship. But we continue the song of worship as we go to work. We continue the song of worship as we're changing diapers and making meals. We continue the song of worship as we're mowing the lawn and getting cars fixed, and we go on about the day today. This is what we are being invited into. And so, I want to encourage you that this week, what does it look like? When it comes to work, what is your thinking towards work? Do you see it as a necessary evil or a gift from God? Are you working in your own strength or are you working in God's strength? And what does that look like as you wrestle with it? When it comes to family, do you see children as a burden or as a reward? Do you see them as a liability or your legacy? And what does it look like then to walk in allowing the work that God is doing in your heart personally to overflow into how you are living faithfully? Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you. That in the reality of your word, that you want to shape our perspective, that, Lord, the work you are doing in our hearts, spiritually, overflow into how we live out faithfully in our hands, with how we work, Lord, with the labor you have given our hands to do, Lord, let us do it for your glory. Let us do it with diligence, Lord, and let us serve in your strength. Lord, I pray that you would reshape our perspective and value of the family and children, that they are a blessing and a joy and a legacy in the midst of the long days. Lord, give patience. Renew hearts and minds and strength each morning, Lord. For your glory, that as the children represented within the congregation are launched out one day, Lord, that they would serve you and continue to sing the song of your glory. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.